Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 13th day of July, 2020. And I'm delighted to have on two men who I have had the privilege of sharing a good deal of time of fellowship with, especially in Franklin, Tennessee, not so long ago for a recent conference where I served as the moderator for the audience Q&A, but one of these gentlemen I've known for many years, going back to the early 1990s when he was still pastoring in South Carolina. But let me introduce these two dear brothers to you. First of all, we have Gary Scott. He is the brother that I mentioned that years ago was pastoring at Three Rivers Baptist Church in South Carolina, and I had the privilege of meeting him first by phone and then later on at the John Bunyan Conference in Pennsylvania. And he also introduced me to a brother that became and still is a very dear friend that I have been delighted to call a dear friend for decades, Ed Moore, as former youth pastor at Three Rivers Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina. And today, Gary is working with the Providence Theological Institute of New Covenant Theology, and he is also founder of Cross Theater. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Brother Gary Scott.
Thank you, Chris. It is great to be here today. I look forward to our conversation about New Covenant theology and particularly how Cross Theater is a wonderful way to summarize that and hopefully to integrate that in the way we live.
Great. And my other guest today is Zach Maxey, and he is intricately involved in the Providence Theological Institute of New Covenant Theology, and was delighted that he was the brother that invited me down to Franklin, Tennessee to participate in, I believe it was a year ago, they hosted the John Bunyan Conference, which they did in honor of the late John Riesinger, who has been known for decades as a primary figure in the New Covenant theology movement, which began in the mid-20th century and sort of split away from the Covenant theology movement, which was also a revival movement in the mid-20th century of Calvinistic Baptists, a resurgence, if you will, of Calvinistic Baptists. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the first time Zach has ever been on the program, but it's a great pleasure to have you finally on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Zach Maxey.
Thank you for having me, Brother Chris.
It
is also a delight to be here.
Was I correct in that guess that this is the first time you're on?
Yes, you are correct. This is the first time I've been on the show.
Great. And what would be your title there at Providence Theological Institute?
I am titularly the president. So it's still kind of weird to kind of think of myself in that light, but that is my title.
Great. And today we are not taking listener calls. I just wanted to listener emails, I should say. I sometimes think that I'm running the old show out of New York when we took phone calls from listeners. Today we take emails from listeners who have questions, but today we are not doing that. So I just thought I'd let you know that up front so you don't bother writing down a lot of questions if you intended to do so. But, let me start with you with some basic questions to start the show going today. Zach, what is Providence Theological Institute of New Covenant Theology?
Well, Providence Theological Institute of New Covenant Theology, or PTINCT as we call it abbreviated, we're a Christian organization seeking to advance the biblical gospel and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And then there are three kind of sub-goals that we have also going with that: to foster unity among advocates of New Covenant theology, as you described earlier, and then to help heal and bring together doctrinal divides that exist in the body of Christ. So it's a kind of continuous dialogue between the various groups to promote cooperation. And then three is to promote cross theater, which Brother Gary is leading up. So.
Yes, well, I'm delighted that I have always maintained close friendships and relationships with brethren from the New Covenant Theology movement, going back to the late 1980s, largely through Don Blind, the late Don Blind, who was my late wife's pastor at First Baptist Church of Lindenhurst, Long Island, for many years. And Don is now in eternal glory with Christ, but Don was the first individual, having come from, after my conversion, that is, having been raised Roman Catholic, every church where I've actually been an official member after my salvation has been a covenant theology or confessional reform Baptist church. And so Don was the first who explained to me, as a representative himself, what New Covenant theology is, and invited me to the John Bunyan conferences, which at one time was their annual conference in Pennsylvania. And I attended for quite a number of years with Don and some other folks from First Baptist in Lindenhurst, and have grown to love many of these dear brothers. Let me start here, since this is obviously a crucial part of the story that we're discussing. Gary, can you tell us what is cross theater?
Yeah, cross theater is really a ministry, a kind of creative discipleship ministry to encourage people to recognize that as believers, we really become players in this great drama of redemption that God is putting on. And it's taken from 1 Corinthians 1:9, where the Apostle Paul says, God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die in the arena. We have become a theater to the world, to angels, and to men. And so we picked up on that thought of we have become, we believers, the Church of Jesus Christ, has become a theater. And a theater is really an arena where the grace of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the gospel of God is actually going to be played out. And so we recognize that God himself is the playwright. You know, he's the one that has drawn up the script, planned this out. His son, Jesus Christ, becomes both the hero in the midst of this great drama, and he becomes the victim. He lays down his life for us. the Spirit of God is the one that directs it, and so heaven and earth is the stage on which this is playing out, and you know, the plot of it's very simple. God created a world where he would express his love, and in the context of that, in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, of course, rejected that and went totally in rebellion against God, and it seemed to raise a question, is this drama going to end as a tragedy? Is it going to end in defeat? But, of course, that was in God's plan from the very beginning, and it provided a context for him to display his mercy. And so instead of God's judgment, he promised that this love that he expressed is going to come to fulfillment through the promise made to Abraham and ultimately the coming of the Messiah. And so throughout the Old Testament, we have the story of how God is preparing for the Messiah, which is his own son to come. And at the incarnation of Christ, the very Son of God comes into this drama and plays the part of both the victim and the victor. And when he dies and is buried and is raised again, he goes back to heaven, and he sends the Spirit of God, who comes and takes God's love and embodies that in us in a very special sense, so that today the world sees God's love through believers, and particularly through the believers gathered together as churches. And we now await the consummation when Christ comes back, the great marriage supper of the Lamb, and we see all of these things come to conclusion. And the Heart of Cross Theater is reading the Bible not as a systematic theology of soteriology and ecclesiology and eschatology and pneumatology and harmartiology, but recognizing that God has really given us a storyline from creation and the fall and redemption and ultimately consummation. And we want people to understand that story. That storyline of the Scripture is ongoing, and we're part of that. And so the Scripture is given to us to help us and instruct us how we actually play our part as key players in this drama. So that gives you a quick overview of what we're trying to accomplish in Cross Theater.
And in practical terms, how do you conduct Cross Theater? I'm assuming that you accept invitations and travel to various churches and perhaps even schools or other institutions, and you speak and you give a demonstration and so forth.
Yes, we'd like to do that more. We would like to have more opportunities to present this. We have a website up, and still some of that is under construction. And the goal is to help churches and coach pastors in how to help their people really embody the gospel, so that, you know, every church in essence is a theater where the love of God is being displayed. Every family is a theater where the father is displaying leadership and love, and the mother is displaying her respect for her husband and the way she leads her children. Every time we go to work, that's a stage on which we have an opportunity to give witness to the gospel. You know, and so while the world is the stage on which the gospel plays out, there are many individual stages where we have opportunities either to play the common theme today. As you know, most of our culture today is directed by an evolutionary script, which is, you know, red in tooth and claw, the survival of the fittest. And we've seen a lot happening recently in terms of this cultural Marxism, which is the warfare of the classes, the oppressed and the oppressor. And Cross Theater is very different than that. It doesn't begin with conflict. It doesn't demand survival and competition. But it really, at its heart, is shalom. It's peace. It's the love and the joy and the respect and the glory that the Father and the Son and the Spirit share with each other, that God's created a world where that kind of love, that kind of joy can be experienced. And so we want to help people integrate this in practical ways. It's not academic, it's not abstract, it's not a highbrow thing, but it's every single Christian has different stages, whether it's their home or their work or their school or their neighborhood or their club that they belong to, where they have an opportunity to display, to stage God's love. And so we've actually subtitled that Cross Theater, where God stages his love.
And I assume, since the themes transcend New Covenant theology alone, that this would be something that you would be very comfortable accepting an invitation to a Covenant theology Reformed Baptist church or other evangelical church, perhaps even an Arminian church.
Yes, exactly. Part of the goal of Cross Theater was to take the substance of New Covenant theology, and the heart of New Covenant theology is seeing the progressive outworking of God's redemptive plan, or as we call it, the theater that he sets up. And so our goal is to see people become part of that. And so if somebody is not keenly committed to covenant theology, they're not going to find it, on the one hand, to be grating that, you know, we're constantly challenging something else, somebody else's view. I think they're going to find it to be meaningful, but it underneath, it ties together the whole movement and the progression, you know, from creation ultimately to consummation. And so it is designed to have a broad base, even beyond just the Reformed Christianity, to general Christians. This really is a message that works for a person that's a believer or an unbeliever, and challenges them to look at this drama that's taking place all around us.
And just to clarify, so our listeners don't have the wrong idea, they should not be expecting to see theatrical performances or anything like that when they attend an event.
That's a great question, because very often we get the idea, when you think of theater, people think of soap operas, they think of Broadway, where all of these performers are pretending to play a part that really isn't theirs. And what I say to people is, think of theater in terms of the Second World War. There was the European theater, there was the Asian Pacific theater, there was the African theater, and these weren't playthings. This is where real battles, real victories, real defeats, heroes and villains actually played out a very dramatic part of our history in the Second World War. You know, or if you think of in terms of surgery, a surgical theater. And these are not pretend doctors that are going in pretending to help somebody. These are real doctors that are going into this surgical theater where they're going to save some person's life, where they're going to remove cancer, where they're going to repair some problem with a part of their anatomy that is diseased or damaged in some way. And so when you think of theater, we don't want you to think in terms of television, movies, Broadway. We want you to think in terms of theater. This is what, you know, Paul actually said, we have become a theater to the world, to angels, and to men. You know, and so it's not pretend, you know, and one thing that I really like about the approach across theater, Chris, is very often when you use the word election or predestination or calling, there's kind of an edge to those things, you know, and very often it will erupt into an argument, you know, rather than a dialogue. So one of the things that Cross Theater does is it says, you know, God is the playwright. You know, and that's another way of talking about the counsel and the plan of God. You know, he's worked all of these things out. And when we get a casting call, you know, and God casted me as a man, he gave me, you know, nearly 50 years now in pastoral ministry. And so it's not like I just decided I was going to go in that direction, but God actually called me and placed me into that. You know, and the Spirit of God is the one that has directed through that and taken me to several different churches over the, that 50-year period. And so when we talk about theater, you know, we're talking about real-life drama where God is at work, where God is staging his love, and he's doing that through us.
Great, and I know that this is a work in progress as far as the website is concerned, but this archived recording of this program, this interview, God willing, will be around for many years to come. So the website is Cross Theater, and they spell it the fancy way, R-E at the end, not E-R, crosstheater.org.
That's right. And do you know, Chris, many people don't understand this. Some people think when we spell theater, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, that that's the American spelling, and the R-E ending is the British spelling. And that's true in a sense. That's not wrong. But what I mean by that is theater, T-H-E-A-T-E-R, is the place where you go, you know, to watch a film or a movie. But theater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E, is really the drama that's taking place. So when Paul uses that word, we have become a theater, he's not talking about a place, but he's talking about a drama that's taking place. And these apostles are on display, and there are so many things in that text. You know, when you go to a theater, there's a stage up front so everyone that's in that theater can see that. You know, and so God doesn't want us to limp through life hiding, you know, and we're in a particularly difficult time culturally with so many things attacking the very things that we believe. We don't need to hide. We don't need to dodge. We need to stand on the stage, and we need to play out this drama. We need to tell them about a God who loves, a God who created, a God who saves, a God who is ultimately going to judge those who refuse to consider his son. And so it becomes, it just gripped my heart. But can I take just a moment to kind of tell you how I got here, Chris?
Yeah, definitely.
Do we have time to do that? You know, when I grew up in a kind of a Calvinian, fundamentalist-type Baptist church, I went to Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, and got the fundamentalism, a little Calvinism, but kind of more Arminian, and it was dispensational in its approach. And as I matured, I had problems. I began asking questions, and there weren't really good answers to those. I then went to seminary, faith seminary, and ultimately became biblical seminary in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. And there I was exposed to covenant theology. And some of the same questions I had in the dispensational setting I raised there, but didn't get good answers. And so when I went into the ministry, I first started in 1973, I came out of Bible college and seminary, neither as a dispensationalist nor covenant theology. And if you would have asked me, who are you, what do you believe, I'd say, well, I believe in historical redemptive approach to the Bible. And so you referred to the Bunyan conferences, and one of the things that preceded that was a conference in the early 80s in Dallas called the Dallas Council on Baptist Theology. That was critical for me because it gave me an opportunity to dialogue with other men that were wrestling with some of the same things. And so from that, John Riesinger, and I can list a number of people that were there that were part of that, Gary Long, that, you know, was so instrumental in leading Providence Theological Institute and ministry for years now. That kind of shaped us, and it's grown from this sense that how do we understand the storyline and the progress of that to where we are today with New Covenant theology that's much more developed, much more nuanced. And so I benefited from the challenges to how do we read the whole Bible as one storyline. And you know, that's brought me to the place of where I am across theater today.
You mentioned Gary Long. I still to this day, probably for the last, I don't know, close to 30 years, I guess, have been giving out his superb little book on definite atonement, which I think is an excellent treatment of that subject.
Yes.
And when we come back from our first break, we're going to have Zach Maxey explain what New Covenant theology is. And I'm looking forward to hearing that, even though I already have heard many times, but I can never be told too often by different people from different perspectives, perhaps, more about this theological wing of the church. Especially since I maintain so many close friendships in it. But we're going to be right back after these words from our sponsors, so please do not go away.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com
That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in his holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claims. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit, Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our two guests today for the entire program are Zach Maxey, who is president of Providence Theological Institute, and we also have joining us Gary L. Scott, who is an evangelist and a former pastor, and also the founder of Cross Theater. And we have come to a point where we wanted to get a definition from Zach Maxey on New Covenant theology. As I said at the outset of the program, I have had close friendships both in New Covenant theology and in Covenant theology since all my life as a born-again believer after having left the Roman Catholic Church by the mercy of God. I have always been a member of a Reformed Confessional Covenantal Baptist Church. But since my late wife's church was a New Covenant theology church, I have always maintained close friendships with folks from New Covenant theology, and it's I can say, to be honest, that it's been a shame and something that is a source of sadness to me that more people in both of these camps could not get along with each other as I have been able to do for decades now. But as I was saying earlier, there was a resurgence of Calvinistic Baptists in the mid-20th century, and men that worked side by side were very close friends, and one might even say colleagues in ministry, reached a point where they started to drift apart. And the differences between New Covenant theology and Covenant theology were a primary cause of this. And it even happened with two dear brothers John and Ernie Riesinger. In fact, Ernie Riesinger is the founder of the church where I am currently a member. After having moved from New York to Pennsylvania, I have been a member of Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which was founded in the late 1950s by Ernie Riesinger. But, Zach, if you could tell us exactly what New Covenant theology is, and then you could tell us how similar it is to covenant theology and where the differences are as well.
Sure. So in the 1970s, New Covenant theology began to emerge as a theological system by individuals who found that they didn't fit cleanly in the camp of dispensational theology and the camp of covenant theology. And so these were individuals like John Riesinger, Tom Wells, Dr. Gary Long, who was the president of PTS, which used to be the name of PTI that we now head up. And so New Covenant theology has been called a via media because it finds elements of both of the camps that it agrees with and then certain areas that it differs from each of them. And so it's a New Covenant theology, or NCT, is a theological system, and it emphasizes three primary things. So Jesus Christ is the nexus, or the climax, or the center of God's plan in redemptive history. And that's a singular plan. That's one plan of God. The second main element that it emphasizes is that the New Testament scriptures have interpretive priority over the Old Testament scriptures, due to the New Testament scriptures being God's final revelation. And this is not to undermine the Old Testament as God's word, because, of course, it is still inerrant, it's infallible, it's still God's word. But it just means wherever the New Testament speaks, whether it's interpreting an Old Testament passage or whether it's applying a concept or reinterpreting or interpreting one of the promises or a text, it has the final say because it's the clearest revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's the final revelation of God in redemptive history. And number three is that the new covenant truly is a new arrangement between God and man. And so arguably the primary difference between dispensational theology and new covenant theology is that number two, where the New Testament scriptures have interpretive priority over the Old Testament. And then number three is probably the primary difference between NCT and covenant theology, that the New Covenant is not viewed as a subset or an administration of this overarching covenant of grace. One thing that I would like to emphasize is that where NCT differs with dispensational theology and covenant theology, and then the different sub-branches, whether it's Westminster Federalism, whether it's 1689 Federalism, the two primary branches in the covenant theological camp, or classical dispensationalism and progressive dispensationalism, the two primary branches of the dispensational camp, where NCT differs with these groups, they're all disputable matters of the Christian faith. And like you said earlier, it's a pain to see that we Christians tend to major in the minors because there's so much theology that we agree upon. And so one of the favorite quotes and teachings that I came across when I was in seminary, because I'm a graduate of Providence Theological Seminary, is a quotation by Rupertus Maldenius, and I quote this all the time. And it's, in the essentials, unity, in the non-essentials, liberty, and all things charity. So we should be able to lock arms on the essential matters of the Christian faith. So, you know, such things as the inspiration of Scripture, the deity and the humanity of Christ, you know, things like that. And then other areas that are fall into the disputable matters of the faith, whether it's differences about baptism, whether it's differences about prophecy, differences of hermeneutics. As long as we agree on the essentials, we should be able to differ with one another in Christian love. And one of the messages for this year's John Bunyan conference, which is a virtual conference due to all the things happening with COVID. One of them is New Covenant Theology Defined and how it compares and differs with Covenant Theology. And the second is New Covenant Theology Defined, how it compares and differs with Dispensational Theology. And so in the message, so your question was about Covenant Theology. There's so much that NCT agrees with Covenant Theology on, because most advocates of New Covenant Theology that I personally know are coming more out of the Reformed camp than the Dispensational camp. Or it's a mixture of the two, but most are coming more from like the Reformed camp. And there's so many things that we agree on. So, you know, the principles of the Reformation, you know, the five solas, sola scriptura, sola fide, solo Christo, soli Deo gloria, sola gratia, and then the principle of semper reformanda. We're always reforming. We're trying to refine our understanding through the inspiration and the illumination of the Holy Spirit to refine our understanding of Scripture and how we apply it with the strength of the Holy Spirit. We, of course, agree on Trinitarian theology, which is the fundamental tenet of the Christian faith. We agree on the inspiration of Scripture, sola scriptura. And there's even partial agreements in the Reformed camp that the New Testament has interpretive priority over the Old Testament. But I would say that Covenant Theology and New Covenant Theology apply it differently, as you see, because this is fundamentally a question about hermeneutics, how we interpret the Scriptures. And I'm a teacher at a classical Christian school in Massachusetts, and this past year I taught biblical theology to my high schoolers. And so when we were talking about hermeneutics and how we're looking at the Scriptures, I gave them what New Covenant Theology calls a Christological hermeneutic. And it has four kind of subfacets to it. And so one, it's Christocentric, where Christ is viewed as the center of God's Word. It's Christotelic, so Christos and telos, Christ and end or goal in Greek. And so Christ is the end or the goal of the Scriptures and the goal of the covenants and things such as that. It's Christodoxic, so the way we interpret Scripture must be interpreting it in a Christ-glorifying manner. And that the Word of God is Christotestic, so it testifies of Christ. And so as Pastor Bill Sasser, who is also a member of the board of PTI-NCT, he's fond of saying that the Bible is a hymn book, an H-I-M book. And so this fundamentally deals how we apply this interpretive principle, where the New Testament has interpretive priority. And there's a lot of agreement with Covenant Theological camps, but there are some differences in how the groups apply it. And so some of the other commonalities that New Covenant Theology would have with Covenant Theology, both view that there is one plan of God centered in Jesus Christ. And so you have God the Father planning salvation, God the Son executing it, God the Holy Spirit applying it. But this also comes up on one of the differences, where traditional covenant theology views an eternal covenant of redemption, so a covenant between the members of the Godhead. New covenant theology would differ with that and just saying that it's primarily just speaking of a plan of God, because the word covenant is not used there, but there's still agreement there that there's one plan of God to secure the salvation of the elect. There would also be similarities between the views of Pentecost, where New Covenant theology would agree with Dispensational theology that the church came into being at Pentecost, whereas in quite a few Reformed circles, Pentecost is primarily viewed as more of an effulgence of the Holy Spirit, where all the Old Testament saints already possess the Holy Spirit, but it's viewed as more of an effulgence, so there would be a difference there. There are also some differences on how we view the Law of Moses. And so, although New Covenant theology would view that the three partitioning of the law into moral, ceremonial, and civil, it's beneficial NCT would differ with covenant theology, that it should not be divided along those lines. And so NCT would view the law as a unit. And so since the old covenant was temporary by divine design, that means that the law has gone away and it's been replaced by something different, which NCT would view as the law of Christ. And so, but nevertheless, when it comes to matters of eschatology and a lot of the church issues, there's a lot of agreement across the board in terms of, say, church government, primarily more with the 1689 Reformed Baptist grouping, eschatology. There's a large amount of similarity and commonality there. Also with various church issues, with the centrality of preaching, the emphasis on church discipline, the view that there's two ordinances. And there's some differences on how to apply that, because, of course, in covenant theology with the two branches, you have Westminster Federalism tending to be more paedobaptistic, the baptism of infants, with 1689 Federalism, believers' baptism. And so NCT would agree more with 1689 Federalism. And so those are some various ways, but these are, again, I just want to emphasize, these are non-essential matters of the Christian faith, the differences between these theological camps. So we agree on much more than we disagree, and we should be able to lock arms and on what we agree and then have a fair Christ-like discussion with one another when we differ, so...
Yes, I have always found that to be the case. And just to clarify, lest some of our listeners hearing you for the first time or hearing about New Covenant theology for the first time develop a misunderstanding, you are not antinomian, and the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments, even though that in the view of New Covenant theologians was specifically and solely intended for Israel, Jesus Christ's law in the New Covenant includes 9 of those 10 commandments. Am I right?
That is correct. That is correct. So NCT has been labeled antinomian by some, and myself and others, of course, we would view that as a misnomer, and we would point primarily to a text like 1 Corinthians 9. So for example... Paul speaking of, as although he was not under the law, referring to under the law of Moses, he became like one under the law of Moses so that he might win Jews to the Christian faith. And then to those not under the law, he became like one not under the law, though he himself is not without the law of God, but he's enamas Christu. He's in law to Christ or under the law of Christ. And so then the question, so NCT would hold that Christians are not under the law of Moses, because that's attached to the old covenant that has gone away. But we are under the new covenant law of Christ. And so how, and this is a question within even new covenant theology itself, and it's an ongoing discussion, but typically how I and others, many others who, if we had to define it, we would define it this way. That it's the two greatest commandments, so love of God and love of neighbor. And as you said, 9 of those commandments are carried over into the new covenant law of Christ, and they're actually amplified to a degree that no one can possibly keep perfectly, and let alone even partially or imperfectly without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But 9 of those are carried over. And it's not only the two greatest commandments, it's also the commands and the teaching and the example of Jesus Christ as we see in the New Testament. It's also the teachings, commands, and example of the apostles. And then it's all of Scripture, so the Old Testament included.
In fact, we have to let you pick up where you left off when we return. This is our midway break that we're going into. And when we come back, we'll also have Gary Scott chime in. But folks, please be patient with us, because in the middle of the show, Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, who airs this program twice daily in a pre-recorded format in morning drive and then in the evening, They require of us a longer break in the middle because they, according to FCC regulations, have to localize this show to Lake City, Florida, and they air their own public service announcements and other local things in Lake City, Florida, while we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely and write down as much of the information as you can for as many of the advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize them, which, God willing, will mean that they will stick around as our advertisers because they see results, and that will mean that we will be able to stay on the air because we require the finances provided by our advertisers. But don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio,
and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And keep in mind, folks, every time you purchase gifts for loved ones, please make solid-ground-books.com, the website for Solid Ground Christian Books, your first stop, whether it be for graduation gifts, back-to-school gifts, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, retirement parties, bereavement gifts, any kind of a special occasion when you're giving a gift to a loved one, please go to solid-ground-books.com. And you might even want to start stocking up with Christmas gifts so you beat the rush. And many things might be sold out where they have to reorder something that you want if you wait too long to order for your Christmas gifts. But Solid Ground Christian Books is a primary sponsor of this program. I seriously doubt we could exist financially without their support, barring a miracle of God. So please, as frequently as you can, purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and always remember to tell Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books that you heard about this wonderful ministry from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Zach Maxey and Gary Scott, we just have a couple of very important announcements to make. First of all, I hope that you all tune in to a program that is coming up later this month in July. That I think that you will all be blessed by. We've got Tony Costa, who was a speaker at the most recent John Bunyan Conference, which was hosted by my guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio today. Tony Costa is going to be speaking about a very relevant and important subject, cultural Marxism. He is a thoroughly knowledgeable expert on this theme, and I have heard him speak on it on a number of occasions. In fact, that was the theme the last time Dr. Costa was my luncheon speaker at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon that I hold twice a year here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. So that will be Thursday, July 23rd, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And of course, we have programs every day, and so therefore, tune in every day to this program. There's bound to be something that blesses you. In fact, you might be blessed by something said every day. And folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. You can also mail in a check via snail mail to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can also advertise with us just by sending in a request for advertising. We can make sure that you are compatible enough with what we are doing here to launch an ad campaign with you. And we'd love to do that for anybody interested in advertising. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please remember, folks, especially with the coronavirus pandemic, when a lot of churches were really drastically hurt financially, I don't want anybody siphoning money away from their own local church in order to contribute to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never do that, and please never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you're already having a really difficult time making ends meet. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, then please, I'm urging you to go to IronTripAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate. Now, especially if you have extra money that you've been able to save during the quarantining going on from the coronavirus pandemic, when you could not go to your favorite sporting events, you could not go to concerts, you could not go to the theater to see plays and other live performances, you couldn't go to the movies, you couldn't go out fine dining, and you couldn't go to Bible conferences and many other things. So perhaps if you could, use some or all of that money to help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air. It's IronSharpensIronRadio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. And also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, you're having a hard time finding a church, no matter where you are in the world, I may be able to help you find a church. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet, and I have helped many people in all parts of the world find churches, so I may be able to help you as well. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in... Actually, we're not taking questions today. That was a force of habit. But we are now back with our discussion with Zach Maxey, president of Providence Theological Institute of New Covenant Theology, and Gary Scott, an itinerant evangelist and founder of Cross Theater, who is also very much involved with the Providence Theological Institute. And Zach, I don't know if you had completed what you were saying when you were comparing before the break. You were showing some of the differences and similarities that New Covenant theology has both with covenant theology and with dispensational theology.
Yeah, well, just to ensure that I fully answered your question in regards to what New Covenant theology's view of the law is, and just to remind the listeners, NCT has sometimes been labeled antinomian, and many within New Covenant theology feel that that's a misnomer, just because although NCT views that we're not under the law of Moses, but we're under the law of Christ, and as you said before the break, nine of the ten reappear.
Somebody disciplining a child in the background? What is that noise? You hear that smacking noise? Anyway.
I heard that. That's not on my end.
So. Okay. All right. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Continue.
Oh, no problem. But NCT points to 1 Corinthians 9. So Paul himself says, I'm not under the law of Moses, but I came as one under the law so that I might win those under the law. And to those who are not under the law, I became as one not under the law so that I might win them to the gospel, though I am not without the law of God. I am under the law of Christ. And so NCT typically defines that, and this is an ongoing discussion and question even in NCT circles, but the law of Christ is the two greatest commandments, so love of God and love of neighbor, of which the nine of the ten commandments that reoccur and are amplified in the New Testament are derived from, and that it's Christ's example and teaching, it's the commands and teachings of the apostles in the New Testament, and it's all Scripture interpreted in light of Christ. So NCT is not a bunch of Marcionites, so we don't cut out our Old Testament, but instead we try to read the Old Testament in light of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's still instructive. So although we are not under the Old Covenant, all of the Old Testament Scriptures are still instructive for us, provided that we're reading and understanding them in light of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, Gary Scott, what are some of the key distinctives of New Covenant theology that perhaps Zach didn't have time to mention in his presentation?
Well, maybe it will help if I follow up a bit on kind of my own personal experience early on in the 80s and the 90s. And some of the challenges that came, particularly with those coming from a Westminster Covenant perspective. And the charge that's often made of antinomianism is as Zach said, we think a misnomer, but also it involves a misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding is that when we challenge the ongoing validity of the law in exhaustive detail, as Greg Bahnsen was fond of saying, that it sounds like we are against the law. And, of course, that is far from the truth. And a critical passage is the Matthew 5 passage where he says Christ did not come to abolish the law and the prophets. And, again, it's not the Ten Commandments, but it's the Old Testament Scripture. But he came to bring them to fulfillment. And so the foundation of New Covenant theology is not one of rejecting law and somehow embracing some other approach to living, but it's embracing the law, but as it comes to its fulfillment in Christ. And that's what Zach was saying in terms of it being Christocentric and Christotelic and Christodoctic and so forth, that it is not that God said, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to give them 10 commands. And we go through the Old Testament, and God said, you know, that didn't work out very well. I think I'm going to change it. I'm going to do something different. You know, that's not the picture at all. But what God began from the beginning, and the book of Galatians is critical in helping us when Paul asked, well, for what purpose was the law given? You know, and the reality is the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant established at Sinai, is time bound. And this is where my experience with, early on, it was more of a conflict with those committed to covenant theology. They heard me saying that I didn't believe in the law. But they really were, that was founded on a Puritan view of the law that saw the Ten Commandments as abiding moral law that could never be changed. And I remember in my own reading of Hebrews, when there's a change of the priesthood, there must of necessity be a change of the law. Well, something has changed, you know, and even those who are the Sabbatarians have to acknowledge we don't keep the sixth and the seventh day, you know, but now we worship on Sunday. So there are things that have changed, and so the misunderstanding has been not a rejection of law per se, but an understanding of the law that gives it a dimension and an explanation that really does not fit with Scripture. And so our desire and concern is not to call somebody a nomian, you know, or be called an antinomian. You know, our desire is to have a dialogue and say, well, how do we understand Galatians 3 and 4? How do we read the passages in Romans where Paul says that Christ is the end of the law? Everyone that in kind of our camp of Reformed, whether it's New Covenant, whether it's Westminster, whether it's Westminster Federalism, 1689 Federalism, we all are in basic agreement about the inspiration of Scripture. So the question is, how do we take these passages and how do we put them together? And the other comment that I would make is that the hermeneutical questions are central and they're key to this. And the basic problem that I had with dispensationalism, and I grew up in dispensationalism, I was taught that in Bible college, so it's not just an academic understanding of that, but that was a part of my life early on, and when I moved away from that, it was with cause, and it wasn't just a knee-jerk position. But the problem that I saw with them is they went back to the promise made to Abraham in Genesis 12, and they keyed on the promise of the land, and they saw the land promise as being central to such a degree that everything in the rest of Scripture has to be made to fit that. And it simply amplifies what Zach said earlier, that we see the New Testament as having the last word, the final word, that the complete statement of that, but they tended to go back to the old and make that foundational, and everything else has to be indexed back to that. And so they made the land and Palestine and Jerusalem so foundational to their system, and they missed the typology that's behind that. You know, that there's a movement that all of these things about the land from the Garden of Eden to Canaan to, you know, the new heavens and the new earth, they're to be understood in a progressive flow of this outflow of redemptive history. On the other hand, covenant theologians and those, I have many that have been friends, we've had many dialogues through the years, they tend to do the same thing, but not with the promise of the land, but with the promise of the seed. You know, believers and their children. And they tend to make that the central pillar on which their system is going to rise or fall. And I believe that they make some of the same errors, only in a different way, that the dispensationalists do, and not letting the rest of the scripture define that. And so a third thing that I would say that the difference is where New Covenant theology is very careful to follow the covenants as they're actually named and cut in Scripture, as they're established in Scripture, where covenant theology tends to make that a theological construct. And so the covenant of redemption, the covenant of grace, the various covenants that they talk about have no biblical foundation in Scripture. It's a theological construct that they've used to put the Scripture together. And our view is we don't need a theological construct. The Scripture already puts them together, and the covenants from the covenant made with Adam, and not everyone is willing to call that a covenant, the covenant made with Noah, the covenant made with Abraham, the covenant made through Moses, the covenant made with David, the covenant made, the new covenant made with Christ, that gives us kind of the backbone. It ties together all of these sections of Scripture. And so my heart is that 90-some percent of what covenant theology embraces, I'm right along with them. You know, and the desire is let's have a dialogue about those areas and make sure that we're understanding what we're actually saying and espousing, and let's get away from, you know, the tags, the negative tags that are used not to encourage dialogue, but to shut that down. And my heart is to see a resurgence of, I think Zach said this at the beginning, of unity. We want to foster unity. We don't want to be divisive and schismatic. We believe what we believe, and we want to open the Scripture and show you the foundation for that. And we know, you know, one day, Chris, you, in fact, will come to a full understanding of this, and, you know, you'll be standing with us. We hope it's on this side of glory, but at least when we get there, we know that you're going to be in full agreement of that. our desire is to have a dialogue, so that it's not a hobby horse that, you know, that we want to beat everyone over the head with. It's we want to understand what God is doing. We want to love that and embrace that. So our heart is to stay with how we understand Scripture and invite Irenic a dialogue that we're going back and forth, you know, in a helpful way, to encourage others to join in this conversation and grow in grace through that.
Yes, I am thankful that the church where I was saved back in the mid-1980s, which was then Calvary Baptist Church of Amityville, Long Island, later to merge with First Baptist Church of Merrick, Long Island, and become Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. That church, although a confessional 1689 covenantal Reformed Baptist church, always allowed into the pulpit for conferences and special invitations and so on, some of the men from the New Covenant theology position. I remember the times that I really enjoyed our dear brother Tom Wells preaching from the pulpit of the church where I was a member in New York, and also to see Tony Costa there, and a number of the brethren that represent New Covenant theology. And so it's just been a part of the reason why I've always maintained close friendships. And I know that there's some of the names that are slipping from my mind right now, but I know that there were other brethren as well.
Well, Chris, it reminds me, you perhaps have heard the story about the guy that was on the Brooklyn Bridge and he was going to jump, and there was a Christian down below that was trying to talk him out of it, and he let him come up, and you know, they got talking and said, "I'm a Christian." Well, he said, "I'm a Christian too, and I'm Reformed." Well, I'm Reformed too, and you know, they went on, and about 18 things they agreed on, and then he said, "What version of the Bible do you read?" And he said, "King James," and he pushed him off and said, "Die, heretic." You know? So the point is, we can agree on so much of that, but if there is a disagreement on one of these technical things, how we read the law, you know, and is the law, you know, completely enforced? Is it enforced? Is it comes to fulfillment in Christ? How is that to be? That's not a simple thing to answer. And that's why we need time to sit down and have the dialogue and look at not our theology books, but look at the text of Scripture. How do we put the Scripture together? How do we take Galatians 3 and 4? How do we take Matthew chapter 5, 17 through 19? How do we take the key sections in Romans 4 and Romans 10? And how do we craft together a statement that accurately reflects the Scripture? We're not trying to create a system. We're trying to take the truths that we see in Scripture and allow them to shape a form for us that we're going to embrace. And one of the things I'm particularly thankful for, when I started in ministry, you know, I didn't have anybody's book, you know, that told me this is what New Covenant theology was. It didn't exist in 1970. And so I had the opportunity as a pastor, and in those days, I would do 5 or 6 messages a week. So it gave me lots of opportunity to cover lots of Scripture. So the theology for me did not develop from a systematic or because I went to a conference on New Covenant theology or covenant theology or dispensational theology. It developed through the exegesis of the text of Scripture. And particularly as you work through those New Testament texts, and I can't tell you how profound the study of Galatians was to me, just listening to what the Scripture says, and then trying to make sure that however I put the pieces together, it respected that and, you know, and did not somehow undermine what it does say.
And I just remembered one of the other brothers who I have not heard from or about in decades, but one of the New Covenant theology folks who had been invited at least on a couple of occasions to preach at the church where I was a member of the 1689 Covenantal Reformed Baptist Church was Tom Smith of Randall Street Baptist Church in West Virginia. I don't know if any of you folks have ever heard from him lately. I have no idea where he is. He used to be in Charleston, West Virginia.
Charleston, he has gone in a very interesting direction and is now a priest in, some branch of the Anglican Church in Texas.
Really? I'm hoping at least it's a conservative Anglican church.
I haven't had contact with him personally for many years, but I know that that's where he is now.
Because I do have some
very different setting.
Yeah, I do have some very close friends who are strong Calvinistic Anglican pastors and scholars believe in the 39 articles of religion and so on. Some of the listeners might not know that some of the more prominent members of the New Covenant theology camp include D.A. Carson and Douglas Moo, and of course Fred Zaspel has become a very prolific writer. Anybody else that you care to mention?
Well, I would include Blake White in there.
I'm sorry?
I would include Blake White in there.
Okay.
Yeah, I would also include in that Steve Wellum and Peter Gentry, who've been frequent speakers. They may not quickly embrace the tag of New Covenant theology, but their progressive covenantalism is so similar to that. You know, there's very few points of any significant difference.
Yes, I've very much enjoyed getting to know those two brothers, the Wellums, and I've only interviewed Steve so far, but I look forward to having them both on, and enjoyed meeting them face-to-face at the John Bunyan Conference that you two men helped facilitate in Franklin, Tennessee. And both of them are instructors for courses that one of my pastor's mother takes in Cork, Ireland. She's not, don't get too nervous here, she's not entering into the pastoral ministry or anything. She just wanted to learn more about God's Word, and she enrolled in the Munster Bible College there in Cork, Ireland. And both of the Wellum brothers have taught there. But we're going to be actually, as you may know, we're going to be addressing the differences between New Covenant theology and progressive covenantalism, and we're going to do that right after our final break. So if anybody else would like, and I keep leading into an invitation for questions, and I keep forgetting that we're not taking questions. So be patient as we air a few ads. The break is not going to be nearly as long as the last one, but don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled, Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and if you just tuned in, our two guests have been today and will continue to be until 6 p.m. Eastern. Zach Maxey, the president of the, had it right in front of me and it disappeared, the Providence Theological Institute of New Covenant Theology, and Gary L. Scott, founder of Cross Theater, who is also very actively involved in the Providence Theological Institute. And as I mentioned before we went to the commercial break, I was going to ask you both, and perhaps this time we could start with Zach, what is the difference between New Covenant Theology and Progressive Covenantalism?
Well, the vast majority, NCT and Progressive Covenantalism, agree. And in fact, if you were to pick up Dr. Peter Gentry and Stephen Wellam's book, Kingdom Through Covenant, in the first edition, they actually mentioned that progressive covenantalism was a subset or a subspecies of New Covenant theology. In the subsequent editions, they modified that to where they no longer identify it that closely, although the vast majority, again, the two groups agree. And I'll define what they view as the differences. I mean, we still have them on at conferences, and they're wonderful brothers. And since we agree on the vast majority, they have the freedom to speak on differences or whatever they feel led to. But in their own words, and this is from Progressive Covenantalism, which is a book by Stephen J. Wellam and Brent Parker.
Now it sounds like somebody's chopping vegetables in the back. Can somebody see if that could be brought to silence for a moment? I don't know if you guys hear that, but there's chopping going on or something. Anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you, Zach. Go ahead.
Oh, no problem. They list the differences in their introduction that some in New Covenant theology deny a creation covenant, and some do not hold to a pre-fall covenant between God and Adam. They also list the questions surrounding Christ's active obedience. And so some in NCT view that is an unnecessary holdover from Reformed theology. Although most folks in NCT actually agree with the imputation of both Christ's passive and active obedience to the believer. And then another one is that they also have distanced themselves from the label because they view that some in NCT circles hold little instructive place for the Mosaic Law in the church's life. And they wouldn't say that the believer is under the Old Covenant or the Mosaic Law, but that it's still instructive because it's still Scripture. And that's a position that I myself and many others agree with. And then there are some other minor distinctions, such as whether or not the Old Covenant was gracious. And so they view that the Old Covenant was gracious, whereas some in NCT have totally said that it's not. And of course, there are elements, of course, that of grace that are in that covenant where God is joining himself to the nation of Israel. And then distinctions such as the conditional and unconditional, that they're not cleanly defined, and then there's overlap. So those are some of the differences that they cite in their own words, but the vast majority, PCI agrees with them. And so I'm actually going to be trying to have a dialogue with leaders in NCT just to get a dialogue going to see if we can work out some of these questions and see, okay, is there really that much of a difference to where we're going to relabel something? But those are some of the differences. But I would still say say, I still kind of view them under the overall umbrella of NCT, just because I agree with everything primarily that they just defined there. But that's in their work, Progressive Covenantalism.
Yes, and when I was at the John Bunyan Conference in Franklin, Tennessee, moderating the Q&A session, I discovered from the Wellam brothers one other distinction between their view and New Covenant theology. Not that everybody in New Covenant theology has this opinion or position, but many people that I've met from within New Covenant theology believe that when we gather as a corporate body for worship, it could be Sunday, it could be Monday, it could be Tuesday, we could completely avoid Sunday altogether without violating any principle of God and Scripture in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. But the Wellam brothers believe that Sunday has a specific significance and it is the Lord's Day. Although they wouldn't have a Sabbatarian view, they would still believe that it is the Lord's Day and should be honored. I don't know if you two are aware of that, but that seemed to come up during the Q&A session.
Yes, and I'll just say briefly, I have heard that view directly from folks who have espoused it, and they do hold that, based off of such scriptures as Romans 14, that Christians would be able to meet on any day. So I was aware of that. So.
Well, one thing... Go ahead.
May I add one comment to this?
Yes.
As well, just in personal discussion with Steve Wellam, part of their reluctance to identify with New Covenant theology is because New Covenant theology has several different strands that are attempting to make that normative. They don't agree. There are, as Zach had laid out, there are these different groups who have different emphasis. And so I think part of their reluctance is not to be drawn into the internecine warfare, within New Covenant theology. And Zach and I have talked about this, and the Board of New Covenant Theology have talked about, of Provident Ministry have talked about this, is that we think that the differences are so minor, compared with the huge differences, that rather than to fragment and divide, there needs to be constructive dialogue. And I really applaud Zach for the effort to bring together, some of the leaders from these various factions. But I think, again, part of the reluctance of Wellam and Gentry is they don't want to be drawn into these provincial debates that are taking place. They want to maintain a high road and say, this is what the Scripture says. And so I think it is strategic in one sense and not totally, theological.
Could you give a little bit more detail on some of these debates and controversies in NCT?
Let me defer to Zach. I think Zach can answer that with more clarity than I could.
Some of the biggest areas, so in accordance with that dialogue that I'm trying to set up, I'm also trying to kind of categorize at least the major differences within NCT. And as Gary said, we agree on most of everything. They're so minor, but some of them are, again, whether or not there's a pre-fall covenant between God and Adam. So some hold that there is, some hold that there isn't, some hold that they're just kind of agnostic on the issue. Well, whatever's back there is covenant-like, and it's certainly expanded on later in the Scriptures. There are some where there are differences on how to exactly define what the law of Christ is. And so in past works like... I think Steve Lehrer's book, but Steve Lehrer has since left New Covenant Theology, as I understand it. But there are some folks that hold that only the commands in the New Testament apply, whereas others hold that the view that's more espoused with the way that we describe it in this program, where it's the two greatest commandments, it's the example and teaching of Christ, of his apostles, and all of scriptures interpreted in light of Jesus. There is actually a debate in there on how exactly do we define the imputation of Christ's righteousness to the believer. So is it just the passive obedience? Is it the active obedience? Or do we need to even make that distinction at all and just say it's the total obedience of Christ? And those are some of, those are probably the principal ones. And there are even some eschatological ones. So I completely enjoy reading Fred Zaspel's work, but he tends to take more of a dispensational premillennial view of the millennium. But again, this is a disputable matter of the faith.
And I remember him vociferously. I remember Fred vociferously disagreeing with John Riesinger at one of the old Bunyan conferences that his view was dispensational. He was defending a historic premillennial view, and John kept describing it as dispensational, and that was getting under Fred's skin during that very well remembered Bunyan conference. Just want to make sure that Fred hears at least one person say that he's not a dispensationalist.
And Chris, if I may, there's a wonderful book by Blake White. It's called What is New Covenant Theology? And it's a very quick read. It's a very small book, and it basically emphasizes seven principles. And the vast majority of folks in New Covenant Theology agree on most, if not all of them. And so, number one, if there's one plan of God centered in Jesus Christ. Number two is that the Old Testament is to be interpreted in light of the centrality of Christ, or another way of saying the New Testament scriptures have interpretive priority. Three, the Old Covenant was temporary by divine design. Four, the law is a unit that stands or falls together. Five, the Christians are not under the law of Moses, but under the law of Christ. And then six, all members of the New Covenant community have full forgiveness of sins and are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And seven, by virtue of their union with Christ, the church is the eschatological or end-time Israel. Most, if not all, of everyone in NCT agrees with those 7 points. And if you actually look on the endorsements in that book, which is actually a very encouraging sign, most, if not all, of the camps in NCT are represented by the endorsements on that book. So most of the major strands are listed there, which those are the kind of the key points in NCT that we most, if not all, agree on.
Now, was Blake...
We agree more than we disagree.
Was Blake the late Richard Bennett's pastor at Dayspring? In Texas.
No, I think you're talking about Jackson Boyette or...
Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. Richard Bennett just happened to be a very close friend of mine who went home to be with the Lord about, I don't know, less than a year ago. I want to make sure that our listeners have the contact information again that they need to maintain a knowledge of what's going on with you two. First of all, with the Providence Theological Institute of New Covenant Theology, that website that you can go to is ptinct.org. That's ptinct.org. And then, of course, Cross Theater is crosstheater.org. And once again, theater is spelt with an R-E at the end, not an E-R. And it's been a joy having you both on the program. I look forward to having you both back, and perhaps we can set up a dialogue on the show sometime between some representatives of New Covenant Theology and Covenant Theology, or any of the other branches of sovereign grace that exists within the church today. That sound like a good idea?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Well, thank you, brethren, and I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I just want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. And I look forward to hearing from you and your questions for our guests in the future on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.